Good evening, everybody. How you doing? Glad you made it in the sweltering heat we're having tonight. Enjoy it for the next few days. It's going to be back in the 20s over the weekend from what I see. So, all right. Well, before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Jim in the back there if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've allowed us all to gather here today. We have a place to come to. That you've given us your Son for us, that we all can be saved and have an assurance of where we'll be. We thank you that the word we would hear tonight would be well received, and that you give us the words, give our pastor the words to speak to us, that we could all absorb it in its all its proper meaning that was given to us through the word, through your word. We thank you for giving us this word so we can have it and take it home and ponder it and read it and even have it to speak to other people. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and you, all that you have done for us. For I know for myself, I deserve nothing but the worst. In Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you would, I'd ask if you're willing and able to please stand with me and turn to page 317. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, page 317.
Joy and
comforter has come.
Comforter has come, that I, child of hell, should be saved. Amen. Yes. Glory to God for that. A lot of people don't realize that you saved. Yeah, I'm saved. Well, you deserve hell? Well, no, I don't deserve hell. Makes me wonder if you got saved or not then. Mary Sue, I deserve hell. I don't know about you, but I deserve hell. I deserve hell. But Jesus Christ, in his mercy and his grace, was willing to come to that cross 2,000 years ago and die for me, a child of hell. And give deliverance to me through the blood of that cross on the Calvary there. Set my spirit free, make me free through the blood of Jesus Christ to be his child now, part of the bride. And I'm thankful for that this evening. You take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter here. We're going to continue on in his study here in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The last couple of weeks or so, we've been studying here, talking about our pure minds and how Peter here says he's trying to stir up your pure mind. We'll start here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, I ask now, Lord, you be with us. I pray you'd have liberty, dear God. I pray you'd be in our midst, dear God, and give us what is needed for this hour. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes. I pray you'd open our ears. What the Spirit saith to the church. And Lord, give us wisdom, guidance, and direction this evening, Lord, especially these last days that we're living in. Dear God, just help us now, I ask. Lord, help me, Lord, to say exactly what you'd have to be said tonight. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to continue on here. We're going to look at a few things real quick about the mind. And then I'm going to go on here and we're going to look at what's said in verse 3 and 4. Okay, you got a situation where Paul says that in the latter days, in the last days, scoffers are going to come and they're going to walk after their own lust. And the question that they're going to be asking is, where is the promise of his coming? All right. Now, some of these things is going to carry over into Sunday morning if the Lord allows. I can't get away from this thought process the Lord keeps bringing across my path where different places I go. Take your Bible, hold your hand here in 2 Peter chapter 3 just for a moment, and flip over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you, we'll start, look at verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. All right? The Bible says this here in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Look what he says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. Now, I'm going to look at this theme this evening, and I think it's creeping into churches. And again, I'm not saying Ray Street Baptist Church. When I say church, I'm saying now as a whole. Not even Baptist. I'm talking about as a whole. Churches. And I said it and I mentioned it last week, and this theme won't leave me alone of witchcraft and things creeping into the churches, and Christians are totally unaware of it. I was out Monday afternoon and I met a gentleman and I had an opportunity to talk with him a little bit and gave him a track, and he started looking at the track and was interested, and some of his family were Baptists down in Florida. And you know what he said him and his wife's ministry is to the churches? Hypnosis and yoga and bringing those things into the churches. It about knocked me back a little bit. That's the ministry of his wife and him. More so, he said, of his wife. Yoga, hypnosis, and how it can be a help to the churches and the Christians today. Look what it says now in verse 23. Now we're going to get to a principle and a theme, and I'm telling you, it's going to carry on over into Sunday. You say, how can a church get to the point it's at? And the Lord's just been laying. The Lord, the other day I was in here studying, and he was giving me, I couldn't write it down fast enough. I told my wife, I said, I went home and this thing just, I said, I was getting so much, I can't even keep track of it all. Brethren, I say these things for us that we're a little flock. But Jesus said, fear not, little flock. And it's my job as a pastor and as an overseer of this church here to make sure that this church stays pure and right before God in these last days that we're living in. And then also to bring us together for the edification of one another. Okay, to keep us grounded and settled and what the Bible says here, holding fast our profession of faith without wavering. Okay, where is the promise of His coming? Where Jesus isn't coming back. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Well, is He going to come back? Has He forgotten about us? Are we going to go through the tribulation? Are these things going to happen? It just seems like it's getting worse. Where's Jesus at? Look what it says here, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful. That what? That promised. Go back. Hold your hand there. I'm not done in Hebrews. Go back to 2 Peter 3 and look at verse number 4. Remember what it said there? For He is faithful that what? Promised. Look what it says in verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? The enemy is going to try to creep in and get you to start trying to doubt the promises that God has given to us. Where is the promise of His coming? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without waiting, for He is faithful that promised. He will come and get us. The Bible says so. Verse number 24 in Hebrews chapter 10. Look what it says next. And let us consider one another for what purpose? To provoke unto love and to good works. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider one another. That's what a good church does. A good church considers the other brethren and does things, performs good works for those that need help with anything. Verse 25. It's interesting that he says verse 25 shortly after verse 23. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Brethren, as I keep studying some of these things out and some of these things I see creeping in, I am more and more persuaded that if these doors are open, if you're a believer, you need to be here. I am persuaded on that. I think the enemy is doing things and trying to keep people out of church. And I am, as these days grow darker and longer spiritually, I think it is even more and more. And Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking this, as ye see the more and more as ye see the day approaching. He's giving a principle in verse 25 that you should be meeting even more the closer you get to the return of Christ. For what purpose? Take your Bible now and flip over to back over to 2 Peter chapter 3. For what purpose? Why ought we to meet more and more as we see the day approaching? Well, because you're going to see a falling away as we go forward. Take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in the last times, the last days, there's going to be scoffers. Okay? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. He says there's going to be scoffers in the last days, and they're going to be saying, where is the promise of His coming? Now, a scoffer is this. It's someone who mocks, someone who makes fun of, someone who derides you or reproaches you. And that's exactly what's going on. You saying Jesus is coming back, you're a fool. We're going to go through the tribulation. They scoff at the idea of you saying that Jesus is going to come back for His bride, the rapture of the church. That is being scoffed at today by a number of individuals. And not only so, and I don't know how I'm going to do this thing, but I want to try to show you some things as well. I'm going to develop a PowerPoint presentation. I want you to see some things. There's things even creeping in, and it's sweeping through the charismatic and Pentecostal realm. Of trying now that this thought is going through and creeping into these churches of us bringing the church bringing in the kingdom. It's called the Seven Mountain Mandate. I'm not getting that tonight. I'm studying it out, but brethren, this stuff is serious. And they're saying it's the church's job to infiltrate government, to infiltrate schools, to infiltrate the media, to infiltrate education and entertainment, and infiltrate all these different seven of them they got. To infiltrate these entities and to be sneaky about it as well. Brethren, I'm telling you, they're setting it up to bring in the Antichrist is what they're doing. And I started looking at this stuff and I said, you've got to be kidding me, and you'd be surprised who's involved in some of this stuff. Some of our presidents. I won't get into it right now. Brethren, I say these things tonight because as your pastor, hold your hand there and flip over. Say it in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to come right to it. But look at Proverbs chapter number, I think it's chapter 1, verse number 4. Solomon talking to his son here, Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I'll wait till everybody gets there with that. I'm sorry. Proverbs 1. But look at verse number 2. Now, to know wisdom and instruction. He's writing to his son. And this is what he wants his son to know. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to young man knowledge, and look at this, discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. All right? I guess as a pastor of a church, I want to make us wise. I want to make us discerning. I want to make us sharp concerning the things of God, that as soon as something is a little off kilter and just doesn't seem right, it jumps out to you like a red flag. That's what I desire from the members of this church. That if something comes in, you might not be able to say exactly what, but inside in your spirit, the Holy Spirit saying, just something isn't right with this. I don't know yet, but something's just not right. Okay? That's kind of what I'm desiring for us to have, is that sharpness of being able to tell the difference between light and darkness. And I'm getting to somewhere, stick with me, I'm getting somewhere with this evening. Look back over at 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, look what Paul says here, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. First thing that the enemy's going to try to do, and esteem, he's going to try to shake your mind. Where is the promise of his coming? Other things as well. God's forsaken you. God's forgotten about you. He's going to attack the mind. And Paul says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be what? Troubled. Look what it says next. Neither by spirit. Spirits. We're going to look into this. Seducing spirits shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Brethren, it's coming. It's here now. It is here now. We're talking about, I'm not going charismatic on you now. I'm not. But I'm telling you, there's spirits out there. The Bible says so. Paul says that you don't be shaken by, the first thing he says is by a spirit. There's spirits behind things. Brethren, there's spirits behind individuals. You often say, they ain't got a right spirit. Or they got a good spirit about them. Right? You can tell and you can, you got a wrong spirit. There's a wrong, you're saying all the right words, but not with the right spirit. These are serious matters, because what's coming in and what's creeping in is a deception, a seducing deception. Look what he says, nor by word, nor by letters, as from us. Look what he says that's going to be shaken, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, look what he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? A falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Antichrist. What does the Bible say? A falling away first. A falling away from what? I believe a falling away from the truth. Brethren, where is truth? What is truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what people are... Oh, you're reading another Bible verse? Really? I had somebody, and it was a visitor, come up. He's like, man, you had us turning in our Bibles. Yes! Yes! I'd have you turn in even more. You should take a trip down to King James Bible Church down there in South Carolina. My pastor goes, I mean, it's like hold up, like 30, 40 cross references. Like, Pastor Ross, I can't handle no more. Like, but he says it because he's like, I want you to be familiar with your sword. Amen. Do you understand? Look, you two were in, some of you were in the military. They give you a gun, brother, in the Marine Corps. I mean, they want you to put a blindfold on, break that thing down, put it back together without even being able to see it. They want you to be so familiar with your weapon that you could handle it if you lost your eyesight. If the Marine Corps put so much emphasis on the weapons for their soldiers, what about us and our sword? This is our sword. Ephesians chapter 6, our sword, how we take care of the enemy, is thus saith the Lord. What does the scriptures say? How do you get victory over the enemy? It is written. It is written. It is written. Now hear me this evening. We don't go off of feelings. And what's happening now is, and I'm going to get into it, we're going to get into even more. What's happening in churches now is people are going off of feelings and what they see rather than what does the Bible say. Well, I felt it, preacher. I know what I felt, and surely what I felt, God's got to be in it because it felt right and it felt good. But what does the Bible say? Well, preacher, I saw it with my own eyes. It just appeared out of nowhere. But what does the Bible say? Look, my wife had somebody close in our family. They were trying to deal with her. My wife was trying to talk to them about something. And my wife said, what does the Bible say? And my wife tried to show them the Bible. They picked it up and threw it. And this is a Christian woman. Because she was like, I know what I felt and I know what I saw. And you're deceived. We walk by faith, not by what we see. And brethren, I hope that you see, no pun intended, see these things that I'm talking about tonight, out of the scriptures. Paul says here to the church at Thessalonica, he says, let no man deceive you. Why? Because there's going to be people who are going to try to deceive you. The Bible is being put off onto a shelf. And we're going off of more of our experiences. Why? Because the experiences feel good. Everybody wants to have this feel-good feeling. They want to see gold dust come down from the ceiling. That's happened. The Brownsville revival down there late 90s, early 2000s. Look, I was almost going to go down there and be a part of that when I was a part of the Pentecostal church. That thing was huge. I don't know if some of you remember it. It was a big thing down there, Brownsville revival. Gold dust falling from the ceiling. I mean, all kinds of crazy manifestations. Look, the devil can produce manifestations of things. Doesn't mean it's coming from God. Okay? Let no man deceive you. Look what's going to happen. For that day shall not come. That day is not going to happen, the Bible says, except there come a falling away first. A falling away. And it's my job as a pastor to try to do all I can by giving you the Bible that hopefully nobody falls away by what they see and what they hear and are led astray by somebody trying to seduce them and deceive them into believing something that is coming from God when in reality it's coming from Satan. Take your Bible and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to continue on. Look at verse 4. referring to the Antichrist in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. Look what it says in verse 7 now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, look at this now, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Listen, we're not going to be around, but I'm getting to a point here with this. The Antichrist is going to be able to come in along with the false prophet, and they're going to be able to do signs, they're going to have lying wonders, and they're going to have power. They're going to be able to do magic tricks, for lack of better words. But his power is coming from Satan, not God. Now look what it says next in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are these people going to be tricked? Because they receive not the love of the truth. I'm going to pause there right for a moment. You know why a lot of people choose deception? Because they don't want to know the truth. They stay, and we're going to read it there in 2 Peter, willfully ignorant. Willfully ignorant. We're going to see it. The next verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, right after they say, where is the promise of coming? It says they are willfully ignorant. Brethren, you know what we need more and more of in these last days we're living in? Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. Not worship and praise songs. Not worship and praise songs. We need Scripture. And I'm serious tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if people want help and they want to be strengthened in the things of God, there's no other place you're going to get it but by staying in the Scriptures and coming to church. It's not going to happen. And if you start drifting away and well, I'll come on Sunday morning and Sunday morning's good enough, and I understand some people have situations. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who choose to stay away for other reasons that there's really no good reason for it. You could say, well, family, I got family. Jesus said if you don't hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, if you don't even hate your own self. Brethren, again, please understand what I'm saying. And I know sometimes I sound like a broken record. It's not about me. If I was preaching anywhere else in any other church among any other people, I would say the exact same thing. You need to be in church. You need to be in church. And I say that because I care for you, and I don't want the enemy taking any advantage over you. These are serious times that we're living in. We're living in the last days, brethren, and it is going to get tricky. It is going to get tricky. And those that are grounded in... What did... Take your Bible and look over at... here we go. One second here. Somebody help me out in First Timothy or Second Timothy talks about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. My brain just lost it. Thank you, brother. Take your Bible and look over there. 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, look what it says next, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church. Now, I know we as believers make up the body, the church. But the church, the Bible says here, is the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth. What is truth? What is truth? Now, deception as it creeps in. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. Paul gives another warning here to this church. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay? And if that verse there where it talks about, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, you can kind of cross-reference that back over to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and being neither being barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of him. But Paul says here to the Ephesians, that you be not henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by what? The sleight of men. The word sleight means this, an artful trick. A trick or a feat so dexterous performed that the manner of performance escapes observation. The sleight of men, the sleight of hand. You know, in law enforcement, when you would pull somebody over or you'd have somebody out of their car or you'd walk up on somebody, the most important thing that I ever put forward was, let me see your hands. Get your hands out of your pockets. Yeah, man, keep your hands out of your pockets. Let me see your hands. Because you don't realize how quick somebody can go from this right here and now they got a gun pointed at you or they got a knife pulled or they got something that they're doing. The sleight of hand. And that's how a magician works, by the sleight of hand. He does things so quick that he gets you distracted over here for a moment, and the next thing you know, he's taking the watch off your wrist. I watched a guy one time, and he was a master pickpocketer. And he would show people, he would do demonstrations, because now he was on the good side. He wasn't doing it as a crime no more. But he was showing how easy he could take things off of you and you not even realize it. I'm talking about undoing your watch and taking your watch off of you. Taking off a necklace that you have on. While you're right there with him, talking with him. But his thing was, he'd get you distracted, and as he gets you distracted, he's doing something else with you. And that's exactly how the enemy works. If I can get you distracted over here and then coming over here, I got you. Because you're paying attention to this over here. The sleight of hand. Paul says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, there's some thought put into this thing, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and look at verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11. What Jesus says to this church here in Philadelphia. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Brethren, I believe this here. I believe what we're doing now, and I'm not saying this irreverent in a light way, that right now, how we've lived our lives, especially since we've been saved, is basically we're creating a resume for over there. I believe that. I believe what we're doing now is all that we're doing now is preparing for that over there on the other side. This is basically a training run. This is basically like a boot camp. Basically, I believe what the Lord's putting us through now, I believe is gonna procure something for us over on that other side. There's going to be, when you go into the new heavens and new earth, there's going to be nations. There's going to be kingdoms. There's going to be thrones. There's going to be responsibilities. There's going to be things for us to do. We're not just going to be sitting around playing a harp for the rest of eternity. There are going to be assignments. There are going to be things for us to do. And the Bible says that the Lord's going to put individuals in those positions by those that were faithful here. I believe that now is the training ground where we're at right now, because it's preparing for what the Lord may give us when we get over to the other side. Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia, he says, be careful that no man take thy crown. Your crown. Your reward. Think about that for a moment. That means you could either have one or have it taken from you. Something to think about. Now, the last thing I want you to look at is seducing. Take your Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are. Or look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right? There's a lot of verses in the New Testament talking about deception, deceived, seducing, falling away. Why? Why? Why so many verses? Because it can happen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Hold your Bible, flip over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Paul told Timothy, seducing spirits. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Very familiar verse. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles. Here it is again. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And look what it says now. And no marvel. Don't marvel over it. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Brethren, seducing spirits in the last days. Paul gives warning to the Corinthians here. He says, for such are false apostles. Peter gives warning there in 2 Peter, false teachers, false apostles. He says that, and don't marvel. The word marvel is this, a wonder. That which arrests the attentions and causes a person to stand or gaze or to pause. Isn't it interesting that one of the major comic book things out there is called Marvel? It's called Marvel. Now, you say, I would never marvel at something like that. Well, look over at the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. I believe we would all say and agree with here this evening that John, the Apostle John, knew the Lord. I would say that the Apostle John had a pretty close walk with Jesus Christ. So much so that the Lord reveals this whole book of Revelation to him. But look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Admiration means wonder mingled with delight or cause of admiration. Look what it says next in verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Look, and I'm not going to go through it tonight, but that woman, that whore, it's a city. And it's seated on seven hills with 10 kings. You know a system that seated or founded upon seven hills? Rome. the great whore. And what does the great whore do? She calls them to be drunken with her fornications. She is a master at deception and seducing and pulling in as truth and righteousness. And I believe her ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. Brethren, how do you overcome these things? How do you deal with these things? You stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You stay close to His Word. Because, flip back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is, verse number 1. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Well, now, for sake of time, jump down to verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Look here again. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul's given warning here and saying, listen, there can be individuals out there that are preaching another Jesus. And I believe a lot of your churches out there today, they're preaching, it's not the same Jesus I got. It's not the same Jesus I got. You got a group out there today in a contemporary Christian movement called Hillsong. They put out a lot of praise and worship songs. And most of your charismatic, Pentecostal, interdenominational, whatever you want to call it out there, they're big time. Hillsong. Bethel Church out there in California is all about it. They did a Christmas special back in 2019. And it is creepy. Most of the time when you see people doing Christmas specials, it's like light and colors and you know, happiness. And this concert they put on for a Christmas special festival, it was dark, it was black. And the one woman, when she walks out, I'm gonna bring a picture in. She looks creepy. She's got this gold thing on her head with all these things coming out. She's got like this robe of mirrors all on her. She looks wicked. And she looks exactly like Ishtar. And this is a Christian special. Seducing spirits, deceivers, transforming themselves into angels of light, ministers of righteousness, preaching another Jesus and another spirit. It's not the same thing as what we got here. It's not the same thing. It's a whole nother thing creeping in. It is creeping in fast. It's creeping in fast. Seducing spirits, false apostles, teachers, another spirit. John says to try the spirits, whether they be of God. I'm going to close with these last two things. Look at Deuteronomy. You say, preacher, the Lord would never allow something like that. Well, look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. One thing you can know, so one of the red flags is a lot of things that are occurring now, they're very sensual. They're very sensual. There's two types of wisdom now. Now, there's two types of wisdoms out there, and the book of James talks about it. There's a wisdom that's sensual and it's devilish. But then there's a wisdom that comes from God. Now, I'm just going to give you a little preview. Some of you know who. Now, I'm expecting this phone to ring. I'm telling you, when you're teaching on, brother, I'm serious. When you're teaching on things that deal with devils and you get all kinds of distractions, please hear me. The other day, something came across my path, and brother, I'm telling you, you need to be careful. I pray to God you stay in your Bible. Does anybody in here know who Mark Lowry is? Yeah. Part of the Gaither, he was once at one time part of the Gaither vocal band. You know what he's out of his own mouth he's saying right now? And I heard him say it in an interview with another man. They were talking with each other. He's saying now that the Holy Spirit is a female. It's a woman. And it's a woman. It's her name's Sophia. You know what? Sophia has ties back to the Knights of Templar. And I'm not going to get into a knight, but it's wickedness. It's a different spirit, brethren. And here you have a man, Christian, saying that God's gender neutral. And how many Christians look up to this man? Brethren, I'm telling you, stay in your Bible. I got Christians today that are more worried about the worship service and going to see Bill Gaither in concert. The man charges like $60 or $25 to get in. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's stuff creeping in and Christians are falling asleep to it and they don't even realize what's creeping in right underneath their nose. It's another Jesus. It's another spirit and it's wrong. And it's coming out. I'm telling you, that latest song that Bill Gaither and another woman helped him write it, It's Catholic. He's in the water. He's in the wine. The Eucharist. He talks about the wafer in a song he wrote. You say, preacher, I'm passionate about it because I think it's getting it's lulling people asleep to another gospel. It's not the same gospel. It's another Jesus. Billy Graham is another one. I heard him tell Robert Schuller over there in a Crystal Palace over there in California. Robert Schuller had one of the biggest television evangelist things on television there was. And Billy, he did an interview with Billy Graham, and Billy Graham believed in his last days that somebody in Africa, if they were just trying to do right, and that they were saved and would go to heaven without ever having to know who Jesus Christ was. Brethren, look, you want to talk about how the Antichrist is going to come in? What supposedly is Christian out today is bringing it in. It's bringing in a false gospel. It's bringing in a false Jesus. It's a compromise. You can't get to heaven but through Jesus Christ, brethren. That is only, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Out of his own mouth, Billy Graham's mouth said, If a Buddhist is trying to do right, or a Hindu is trying to do right, and though they might not have the true light, if they're trying to do with what light they got, they'll go to heaven. That's out of his own mouth. I got it transcribed at home. You say, brethren, why do you think so many people today hate the King James Bible? They hate it. They hate it. They hate the Bible. And I think, brethren, it's anything but the Bible. Move my emotions. Make me have a good feeling. Make me just to come to church and just let me just feel good for a moment. Give me a little message, a short little sermon on Jesus, and then let me go home and live whatever way I want to live. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall into deception. You're going to fall prey to seducing spirits. You're going to fall prey to doctrines of devils, and it's going to by the sleight of men, by false apostles, by false teachers, by false people out there. And before you know it, you're going to be off doing something you thought you would never do or follow. And don't even realize that you've just been lulled to sleep. Stay in the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God, look what it says, proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord allowed it to prove you to see what was in your heart. What do you want? Brethren, I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. I want to be here tonight. If there was another service tomorrow night and I wasn't a pastor, I would be there. And if there was another one Friday night, by God's grace, unless something happened with my job, I would be there. Because I would want to be there. I want to be around God's people. I want to be around singing and praising God through these hymns. I want to hear the word of God. I want to be around it because of what Jesus has done for me on the inside. He's transformed me and he's given me a blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want the truth. I want to grow more holy. I want to be more perfected for God's glory and honor. I want these things because of what's been done inside me. I want to spend time with Jesus. Lastly, look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30. Jeremiah 5 verse 30. The Bible says here, Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30. Bible says here, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Jeremiah says here, he says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Brethren, as we move forward into the future here, there's going to be less and less people that are going to want the truth. Less and less. They rather have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 or 3 that the Lord sends strong delusions that they might believe a lie. Why? Because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They had no desire to know what the truth is. They desired to stay in their pleasure. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to send you strong delusions that you believe a lie. Ezekiel chapter 30 as well. Chapter 33, verse 30. And we'll close with this right here. Ezekiel chapter 30. Same thing that Jeremiah kind of said. You see the same type of thought process here with Ezekiel chapter in Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Look at what the Bible says here. Ezekiel 33, 30. He says this, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses. I mean, basically what Ezekiel's saying here in chapter 30 is there's still people, Lord's telling them that are still talking about you in their houses. They're still talking to you by their walls. And it says, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. They talk about the Son of Man in their houses and against the walls, and they say to their brothers, they say, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now I want you to look at that as not a prophet among, but scripture among them. Bible. They say, come here, man, and they're going to talk about you in their houses, they're going to talk about you on the walls, they're going to say, everyone to his brother, come, and I pray you, let's go hear the word which cometh forth from the Lord. And they'll sit there and they'll listen, but they won't do. They won't put into practice what the Lord's trying to give them. And you'll seem to them as just someone that has a lovely song or a pleasant voice, and you play well on an instrument. For they hear the words, but they do them not. But when it comes to pass, they're going to realize, uh-oh, what they were really dealing with and what they were, how they were really trying to live and how they were really trying to follow the Bible, it really is true. Don't let it get to that point in any of our lives to where we look back and be like, oh, wow, that he really was saying the truth. The Bible really was saying that. Let us grasp these things now. Let us grasp these truths now and not fall prey to the enemy as he tries to creep in and corrupt what God's trying to do. Stay true to the Scripture. Stay true to God's Word. Stay true to one another as it lines up with Scripture, the light of God's Word. And let that lead and guide us, and not what we see or what we hear or what we feel, but what does the Bible say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, I pray you just help us with these things. Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply them to our lives. Dear God, help us to be aware that there's seducing spirits out there, Lord. There's things out there, Lord, that are trying to deceive and draw and pull away, dear God, from the truth. Dear God, help us to be wise concerning the sleight of men and the craftiness and deceivableness of trying to pull us away from the truth of your word and, Lord, from walking with you. God, help us to stay pure. Help us to stay holy. Help us to walk with you in a perfect and an upright way. And dear God, I pray you just help us to stay focused, Lord, and be about your business till you call us home someday. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise through it all. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.